This is the Visual Developers Podcast with your hosts, Lacey Kessler, Matt Varghese, and Ben Parker. Interviews, no-code reviews, tutorials, and more, we're here to talk about all things no-code.
Hey everybody, Ben here from Visual Dev FM, back with another episode, excited about this one, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Lacey and Matt.
Heyo.
Heyo.
Stop it. You are ruining my life.
I knew it was coming too.
That's your right.
I knew it was happening. Lacey's going to be double excited now because not only did she get Matt there with his heyo, Adalo is at the top of the no code roundup. And so, woo-woo. Just so you know, our episode today, the focus is we did an interview with Adalo CEO David, and talking about the new Series A announcement. Really excited about that. So he shares some details about what Adalo is focusing on, what's next, and looks back at some of the things that have happened over the years. And so definitely want to give that interview a listen. But before we get there, as always, we're going to start with our no-code roundup. Now, most of the time, we cover everything we could possibly find in the no-code space that we feel like should be mentioned. There is a lot of big stuff that's happened. So we're going to cover some big things in this roundup. And then next week, we'll actually be back with a lot more detail. But we'll start with Adalo's Series A announcement. This is pretty incredible. Lacey, thoughts? You want to share your feelings here?
No, I am so excited. And I'm also so proud that I did not let it slip. When we were recording,
yeah, you didn't
anything.
I respect that.
I was
that.
So good.
I respect that. I can't believe you did not let that slip.
She secretly told us. That's not true.
I did not. I did not. They
actually, yeah, you're right. You know, Ben, you're so right. She did say, I'm violating my NDA, but I'm going to tell you, Tiger Global is putting $8 million in. Get in the ground floor right now. Like, yes. David, as I told you yesterday, off air, Lacey is the worst employee that you have, and you should fire her immediately. So,
and this is why you get passwords like Lacey is cool from Parker, because of statements like this. But super cool.
Anyway.
Super cool. This Series A announcement, $8 million, you know, from Tiger Global, led by Tiger Global. This is really cool. I'm super excited. Mm-hmm. Read the article. Link in the show notes so you can go to the tweet. There's kind of a thread about it. But you can links to the blog article. You can kind of dive into the details and learn some of what went into this, what they're focusing on. But hang around. David's going to talk about some of that too in a little more detail, which I'm excited that, you know, we were able to get him to be a part of this episode. But super, super awesome news for Adalo to get this Series A announcement funding and having that announcement. Also, Adalo, we talk about this later with David, but Adalo is hiring a lot of people. And so if you're, you know, if you're looking to work at Adalo, one, you can work with our own Lacey, by the way. So like if you're looking for...
Lucky you,
right? Like if you want to work with Lacey on the education team, you do have a role. What's the role title that you're trying to... Is it educational content creator? Is that it?
Yeah. So, there are like all awesome roles open on there. But education is obviously my specific focus. And so we can work together, create content, templates, have just a great time.
The so job also comes with free therapy for working with Lacey, which you'll need.
Good gosh. Sean's
fired. I am the therapy. Working with me is like therapy. I am listening. I am empathetic. I am funny as hell. So,
oh, man.
You know, adalo.com/jobs if you want to apply. If you want to apply, adalo.com/. And I will say, too, besides working with Lacey, there's a couple other roles that I think people like in our audience would really enjoy. One, if you like breaking stuff, they're looking for QA folks. But two, there's a couple of there's a visual designer and a senior design lead. They're looking for people with design chops, people who can use Webflow and other Zapier, other no-code tools. So if you're looking to kind of, you've been excited to join a company and get in the no-code space or been looking for a gig, these are awesome. So link in the show notes to go check all that out. Definitely make sure you take a look. So, and this is going to seem anticlimactic because we announced everything else. Adalo also announced you can customize your map markers now in the app. So instead of using like the default orange map markers, you can make them match your brand, which is really cool. That's a really cool update, but it's really hard for to get that to compete with a Series A $8 million funding announcement. So anyway, cool stuff all around. Next up, Google decided they would rip off Coda and Notion. And so they announced some changes to Workspace. You two are laughing, but it's true. They announced some changes to Workspace. And if you've seen them, like, you know, there's a link in the show notes if you want to go check it out. There's a blog post that we linked to called 12 Google Workspace Updates for Better Collaboration. And, you know, you can mention people in files. They have pageless docs. This should sound familiar if you use Notion or Coda. Emoji reactions, you know, templates where you can just at, or, you know, like Coda has the slash, you get templates. Connected checklists, you know, where you can assign people table templates. They put meat inside of docs, which I don't know how that's a selling point. That's actually more of a con for me. Oh. Yeah, Google Meet. Not. Lacey was like, we're going grilling? Like, what's happening?
A barbecue inside a Google Doc.
Yeah, she was. Okay, I'm not even, I can't say this on air. Never mind.
So you have those. Now, there are a few things. Once our junior high students here get their stuff together, there are a few things in here that are actually pretty cool. So the first thing is they did include this inclusive language recommendation and assisted writing feature that I think is really cool. So like it will check the language that you're writing, make sure that you're writing inclusively. There's grammar checks. That's really awesome. We've talked about a million times here how it's really hard for some reason for companies to get Gantt views or timeline views correct. They do have a timeline view coming to Sheets. That looks really cool, and I'm really excited about that as somebody who really loves Google Sheets. I think it's an awesome feature add, and I mean, it looks great in the screenshot and in the video. I don't know what it's like to work with, so we'll see as they start rolling all this out what it's like. But you know, it just looks like Coda but worse. I don't know. Like, it's like somebody decided to do a worse version of Coda, and I don't understand. Like, you're that big a company, and like,
dude, that's how big companies move, though. You know what I'm saying? It's like Google will kill everything that they touch, and honestly, to see Google ship any update to Docs for what, the first time in 15 years? Like, at the beginning of the article said, it's like, we've been working on Docs for 15 years. It's literally stayed the same.
No, so. It's not true. There are things in there that are different.
They updated the logo.
That's true. They did
update the logo. Y'all, that's, wow. No, they've done some things, but I mean, like, there's still some things there too that they haven't done. Like, for the longest time, I know a lot of people have wanted Markdown support, be able to write Markdown. Every app has that available. For some reason, Google's like, forget you. You can't have it. Take a hike. I don't know why, but that's just what they do. So anyway, it's out. If you have any takes on this, I'd love to hear it. But I don't know. It really just, more than anything, made me angry. So, no, not a big fan. But speaking of Coda, Notion, I think we have to get into this. I think somebody tweeted us about this, but Notion released their API. So link in the show notes if you want to go check that out. Notion made their API public. So thoughts from the gallery?
Yeah, I would share my thoughts, but I have old therapy notes still in Notion. So like, I don't want to say anything. And then they like, you know, put those out on Twitter. So if anybody else has something, I'd love to hear it.
Could you imagine? Is the password to your account, Lacey, is cool as well?
Yes, that's cool. It.
We're going to hack into your account and read all about therapy, Lacey's therapy sessions. I think it's great that they released it. It's still a little light, but to their credit, like, people have been waiting for this for a while, and like, they shipped it. So I cannot hate on someone's ability to ship something, even though I literally just hated it on Google Docs like 10 seconds ago. I guess it's very hypocritical. But I think that like you can read page content, you can write page content. There's not like a ton of metadata. Like, I think Veronica on my team was, like, looking for word count. And, like, it's not, like, inherently there. But, like, you can do it through, like, you know, getting plain text data, counting words that way. But, like, there's not a ton of metadata there. But I think it's really just starting a step in the right direction. YouTube might disagree. And honestly, I don't have a dog in this fight anymore. We have fully moved off of Notion at 80/20, which I got a text from Ben's new coworker, Max Lind, about that said, I don't mean to hate, but ... ClickUp? Really? So he did not approve of my choice to move off of Notion. But so all that to say, I don't have a dog in the fight, but I do think that the fact that they released it is actually great for the entire space.
I think it's anticlimactic because you waited this long for a feature and then it releases. I mean, it's cool. Like, I'm glad, once again, happy for the team. I think that's cool. Retrieve a database, you know, query database, list databases, retrieve a page, create a page, all these different things that you have, you know, available. You know, you can search. So there's some really cool pieces here. I just think, like, if you waited this long and this is the functionality you get and you have some tool, like, and so I think I've said this in this podcast a million times, some cool tools are better, Coda. And so, you know, if they have better API already and they have Coda packs and some of these pieces available, I guess, I don't know. But if you're a Notion, if you're like locked into the Notion platform and you're a Notion power user, this has to be really cool. I think for folks who aren't using Notion or using other tools that might have some more functionality, it's not such a huge selling point. But I know there's a lot of people who are really like just Notion. They're dedicated to Notion and everything that comes with it. So I don't know. But cool.
Adalo runs off of Notion. So like that's all of our, well, like Google Docs and Notion, which is like, that's like our internal wiki and stuff is in there. And I really do like, I mean, it's a really smooth interface. I do like it. I just don't do enough stuff right now to even get to play with the API, but maybe soon. And maybe when I move my therapy notes off.
Yeah, it's cool. They released the API. I know that a lot of people are excited about it. So I did look at Zapier, you know, because they have the Zapier integration too. Link in the show notes if you want to check all this out. You know, and the Notion to start to relate. But I would expect this to expand and really grow over time and it to become something super powerful. So I would expect nothing less from their team. So you always got to start somewhere and then grow from there. But I don't know. For me, personally, it's going to take a lot to get me to give up on Coda. All right, Stacker app. I don't know where Matt literally just disappeared from the mic, but this is like his cue to talk. Stacker announced the next version of Stacker. So lots of big things happening here. This looks really unbelievably slick. It's so cool.
Can we just take a moment to give credit to Stacker for what they have done? They have literally gone from like a 6-person company when we first talked about them to like a company that like, what, who had them in their job description? Netflix. Netflix had a job description where in the job description they mentioned familiarity with Stacker was like a bonus. And it's like, how are you like that's such an amazing milestone. And like now, like look at this banner, like the social proof banner on the site. Samsung, Segment, Audible, Mozilla, MIT, and Novo. Wow. Like those, Sam and Michael, like they're just crushing it. And yeah, I agree. The new site looks slick.
Well, the apps look amazing. Like the new design is incredible. And I think the multiple data sources, like being able to use Airtable, Google Sheets, Stripe, Intercom, you know, and kind of sync all of that data and have it all in one place is super powerful. I've built a couple things with Stacker app and I really love it. I have not got to use the new version yet. So it's like on my list of things to do. But if you haven't used Stacker, definitely give it a look. This new version is absolutely so clean. I remember when we had this episode, there were a bunch of people like, why would I use Stacker? And that has been a tool that just has stuck around.
Dude,
and
yes.
It is so good. It is such a great tool. The power that it provides you to like, build your own dashboards and apps, because that's one of the I feel like for a long time that was one of the weaknesses with no code, the ability to build these sort of dashboard tools. And Stacker just really unlocks all of that power. It's great. It's such a great a great app. So
I really think they're going to be like the next. They've raised $3 million to date, I think. I might be wrong, but like, I don't know if you two know about like the story of Calendly, but Calendly is like, they raised, I don't know, like $300 million or something like that. Or maybe not even that much. They raised like relatively like a nominal amount. And they became like this huge multi-million dollar company. And then I think they might've raised again. And like, that was a larger amount, but like they became a massive company on such a minor investment. I think Airtable is like that too. I think this is like the next version of that, to be completely honest with you.
It's a great app. And if you haven't built anything on it yet, like, missing out. Not only does it look great and it's functional, but it's actually fun to build in. I don't know. I found myself, it's, you know, you have those tools where you start building things with it. You're like, huh, this is kind of fun. I found myself in that space when using Stacker. So definitely check it out. Super, super happy for their team. Webflow rolled out some global, global accessibility day is today. And so Accessibility Awareness Day, GAD. And so rolled out some cool things. Link in the show notes to the landing page. But one thing they did make available is there's a Webflow accessibility checklist, which is pretty sweet. And I don't know if either of you have got to check this out, but essentially it's for if you're building a Webflow site. But even if you're not using Webflow, you'll probably find it very helpful. It talks about things that you should avoid excessive motion behind text, include motion warnings, and then, you know, add skip links to your navigation. And when you click into these, it tells you, like, you can go into the detail page. It tells you, like, how you should do it. It gives you screenshots for things that might require custom code. There's custom code in there. And then you can literally check these things off the list. And it gives you a running list that you can check off. And you can even take this link that you have. You can copy the checks and send them to somebody else. So if you're working in tandem with somebody, you can send it to them, too, so they can see the progress you've made, work collaboratively with someone. So if you've been trying to figure out how do I build a really accessibility-friendly Webflow site, this is going to be an awesome resource for you, and I really love this site. It looks great. But also, there's a Webflow University course out now that covers accessibility on the web. So there's a course that's now available. And then finally, Webflow released a case study about accessibility too, and it includes a client of our very own Matt, Mateo.
Yeah, it was that was a very fun project. I think Ben said the initial, and sorry if you can hear my dog, I just moved into a new apartment and he is not used to it. Ben noted that I think the first draft of that interview was like, the founders of those companies are really into accessibility. They are very anti-plugin. They're very, like, they don't want to check a box for accessibility. They want to make sure it's accessibility friendly from top down. And Webflow made it way easier to do that. And like, it's like amazing how much, I feel like in the last, I mean, I'm sure it's been a focus of Webflow, but like in the last like year or two, Webflow's really been going in on that. I mean, hiring engineers specifically that are accessibility like focused. Ruben from the Webflow team, like he's an engineer over there, I think focuses on accessibility. He was super eager to help us and make sure we could just get everything going. So props to Webflow for like actually investing in that.
Yeah, Ruben's the best. Just to read the top line of this case study too. A lot of people add a plugin to a non-accessible website to technically meet accessibility standards, but that is such there's a word I can't say, BS, for anyone that actually uses the accessibility features. They simply don't work. Our goal was to find a partner who could go much deeper and build a site that was accessible by design. Now, this is like, there's a lot of, like, right up front you get hit by it on this case study, but it's really good. They talk about some of the process in building it, so if you want to see what that's like, definitely go check that out. Link in the show notes so you can go see that. But that is our roundup for this week. It's 20 minutes worth of content there, and we really skipped a lot of things. good times. We need to add next week. We'll have a lot more content there. But just so you know, we didn't forget about everything. There's a lot of news out there that we didn't cover, but there were so many big things that were happening. We were like, we kind of got to focus. So anyway, we want to thank you for listening, hanging out, stick around for our, interview with David, and we'll catch you all next time. Later.
Deuce.
Bye.
We are so excited today to have David Adkin from Adalo joining us for the podcast. If you've listened in the past, David's joined us before. David is CEO of Adalo, and Adalo just announced their Series A funding, and so we thought, what better time to have David back on than now? So we're excited to get to chat with him. So welcome back to the show, David. We're glad to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. Excited to talk to you all. You know, things have changed a little bit here for all of us, so excited to catch up with you all.
So I'm curious. I'm sure everybody else has questions. Just can you tell us a little bit about the Series A and maybe how it came about, like what led to that?
Yeah, let's see. You mean like take you through the process or like, I mean, there's a pretty obvious reason, like, you know, why we'd want to raise, but I don't know. Yeah, what kind of questions are you all like interested, I guess, in like finding out more about?
I guess for me, like, I'm really curious, like, what are your biggest, I've read the announcement, so I know some of it there, but like, what are your biggest goals coming out of like the funding? Like, what do you really want to see happen now that you've raised this funds? Like, what's next on the list for Adalo now that this is here? I know you're hiring a lot, but what else?
Yeah. Nice plug. Yeah, no. So we are hiring a lot. If you want to come join us. Yeah, I think in terms of, you know, what's next, it's really about taking no code to that next stage. You know, more and more companies like us are starting to get more and more funding and larger, and that means legitimizing no code even more and really kind of pushing it forward to its next stage in evolution. You know, the beginning, I think a lot of people were just using it for maybe little projects they had or MVPs or, you know, side hustles and those types of things, which are amazing use cases for no code. But I think, you know, it's starting to get pushed further and further to more and more legitimate and larger use cases. You know, obviously we're seeing that on the website side of things for a little bit now, that it's getting pushed more and more to larger and larger, you know, enterprises and things like that, and more successful use cases, and it becoming more and more just like the way that it happens. So I think that same type of energy is now going to go into other aspects of no code. Obviously Adalo is in the app side of that world. But, you know, pushing that to more and more, I think, greater heights, and letting us really scale and get to a ton of the projects that we want to get to will be amazing. In terms of, you know, making Adalo, you know, even faster and, you know, making it, you know, stay up, like, you know, just as much as AWS 99.99, like, you know, like all of those things that like make it a legit business, is like really, I feel like where no code's getting from like a high perspective.
That's amazing. I mean, one, congrats. Two, how does it feel to be from, like, you're not in San Francisco or New York or LA, one of these big hubs where like everyone says you have to move. You're not in freaking Miami where, and the, like, you know, how does it feel to be someone from St. Louis or like, you know, in St. Louis? To and like be able to raise this from like one of the biggest VC firms like Tiger, I imagine it must feel amazing.
Yeah, no, it does. I think a little bit. I don't know. Maybe being outside of those bubbles, like I've never been a part of like maybe some of the echo chamber that can happen in those things. So like I've always just kind of like maybe questioned or done things differently, not because like I'm like a rebellious person that's always questioning, but it's like, well, I don't know. I didn't know what the standard was. So, you know, then you kind of have to operate on principles and like think about what you'd want to do or research other things. So you start to pick up on things maybe differently than other people would. And then it's like, oh yeah, like why can't we build all software without code, right? Like there's not anyone saying like, you know, directly to me, like, well, what are you doing? You know, it's just like, well, it's just like, I don't know, design tools keep getting easier and easier. Like, why don't we just make one do it without that kind of stuff? So I think you learn to think for yourself or operate on principles a little more. And I think you kind of, I don't know, just question things a little differently, maybe. I don't know. But and then in terms of like what it means, it's definitely amazing for St. Louis and Midwest type of things. It's very a very collaborative environment here, which has been kind of great. And definitely just proves like, you know, anything happens everywhere. So yeah, it's kind of it's a little surreal, a little crazy to be where we are today.
How did you celebrate?
I feel like we didn't really celebrate too much, like personally.
Come on, man! You just kept chugging along.
Matt hasn't read the Infinite Game, so he doesn't know like the game doesn't stop even though you get the Series A, yeah. Right? Like you keep
it,
going.
Like, really doesn't. Yeah, it's a little crazy, like. I don't know. You always like don't think that like you're legit. You're like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's like, I don't think so yet. Uh-huh.
You're going to be IPOing like, and you're going to be like, have we made
it? We're not legit.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think we might maybe. Be legitimate then. Then.
Yeah. All right. I'll cap it at IPO. So when we get to IPO, I'll say we've made it.
I love it. In terms of like Series A, you know, startup rolling and I mentioned that you're hiring. By the way, if you're listening to this podcast, there are two roles on the Adalo page that I think scream at you, which there are some visual designer roles that you're just like, woo, like that's pretty cool. So if you're listening to this, pause real quick and go look because you should be looking at those roles. But I know that typically this means a lot of growth. Like, what do you think this means like for culture at Adalo and for your company? And so I would like to know like what you think about scaling and keeping that culture as you scale, one. But two, if you are, you know, I just pitched people to go pause and look. Why should people look at working at Adalo? Like, what would you tell them about why it's awesome to be there?
Let's see. I was gonna be like, Lacey.
I'll keep him honest. I promise.
Yeah, you can just cut all my lies. Let's see. I think we generally have tried to embrace the no code community and like makers as much as possible. And like for us and for me, it's like. It's really just about helping people like bring their ideas to life, and that manifests itself in tons of different ways. So it is even a little bit larger than just like making, you know, some new app or whatever you're trying to do. But it's like, you know, you have a problem and you're trying to solve it. And any way that we can be supportive in that endeavor is our like kind of number one thing that we're all trying to be about. So we like to make sure that we hire people that are creative people, that are makers, that like to do those things. And then, you know, I guess try to have a little bit of like a, you know, laid back type of, you know, atmosphere with trust and feedback. Feedback's definitely something that's super important for us. You know, we have a all hands feedback meeting every week, and we'll continue that like as much as we can, where everyone in the company presents what they're working on and you all kind of react to that. And it doesn't really matter whether that's a mock-up or a new company initiative that you're trying to do or something in marketing or whatever. So everyone trying to collaborate together is important to us. We also started something cool called the Social Responsibility Committee. That kind of popped up pretty organically. Actually, after it really popped up after the Blackout Tuesday postings that really kind of made us reflect and start talking about that as a company. And then we read a book together, and then we were like kind of finished with that. And then we're kind of all realizing like, well, wait a second, like, why don't we like, there are other things that we should be tackling or talking about. So every month, we have different meetings for that, different readings that we kind of get together and see how those things affect Adalo and affect the space and what we can do about those things, more directly as it relates to us and our company, and, just trying to be mindful of all different kinds of people and how we affect everything. So, yeah, I don't know, Lacey, what other things since you started? I don't know what else you like about Adalo.
Oh gosh, let's see. And you're going to pay me after this, right?
Yeah.
Everything. Like I have never been happier than I am now. Like we have a stand up every morning, which is like our morning meeting, talk about what we did the day before. And I look forward to it so much, to seeing the team, to like joking and playing and like, what are you working on? Here's what I'm doing. Like, here's how I am doing. Like, this is going on in my life, or, you know, what have you. It's a lot of fun. And I feel like, was that you, Matt? he's doing this thing. See, y'all can't see what he's doing, but he's texting me and it's going off on my watch.
I'm not texting you. I'm slacking you. There's a difference.
And so he's doing this and now I'm turning red. I'm out of practice.
It never stops with these two.
it's been a hot minute. And I know that Ben said, you know, the designer roles, which are cool, I guess, if that's your thing, but also education is hiring. So you could like work directly with me, which would be really fun. Everybody knows that. So it'd be really fun.
Yeah. The designer roles are pretty interesting in that, like, that's like all that, like, you know, I've really done the entire time. And, once you start scaling, then you have to like hire yourself out of whatever you were doing, which is like a pretty like weird thing to consider, where it's like, uh-oh, like, you know, we have to scale so much. Like I need to hire someone, like I need to hire myself out of my own role. So it's a weird, but exciting time. And I'm excited to add people, you know, to help me do those things that I used to do. So
I don't want to put you on the spot, but yeah. I'm going to put you on the spot. So
that's fine.
You, I mean, reading your blog, there's been so many big things that you as a company have announced recently, like targeting improvements to performance, talking about the gains in support and your focus there, you know. And I know that you've had like the marketplace and some bigger feature launches. So, do you have like you know, the custom fonts that just got added, which is really, I think, cool to me. Like, what are there specific initiatives or pieces you're excited about, or is there something maybe the rest of us don't know about yet that you're like looking forward to?
Yeah. So let's see. So, in terms of, I guess I would say like our largest three things moving forward that I did talk about a little bit in the post as well, but certainly improving our web apps is by far the like thing that, you know, I'm really excited about. I mean, we are cross-platform, but have never really had true customization over all the, you know, responsive design. So we've been doing a lot of design for how exactly that's going to work and how we can approach that in a little bit of an Adalo way. You know, to still make it easy and flexible, but still truly drag and drop. And then on the marketplace side of things, you know, we launched that last year, and it was pretty wild to see true, you know, developers team up to be able to add it back into the no-code ecosystem. But really expanding that to be a lot larger and not just about components will be a pretty big initiative. You know, it'll be about, obviously we'll be adding templates and those types of things in there, but also adding in integrations and actions inside of that. You know, you can make a ton of custom actions today, but it still takes a little technical chops to do that. And that's where that like developer-y mindset or those more technical people, we really want to figure out how they can keep plugging back into, you know, Adalo and giving back to the people that don't know, you know, how to code or don't really have those technical chops. So they can just be like, oh, you know, I want to, with that cool custom action you did where you connected to that POS system and had it send, you know, whatever food order down to check out, right? Like you could do that in Adalo, but you need to connect to APIs and do a little more technical stuff. So if there's just a way where somebody who had those technical chops could add that back into a marketplace for people to copy that and, you know, send off, that'll be pretty amazing for us. You know, more turnkey type integrations, you know, a lot of 2020 was like, the theme was like, okay, we just don't want you to get stuck on Adalo, right? So like, we felt like when we first launched back in 2019, it was like, wow, this is really easy to use. But like, it was like I talked about at the very beginning, like, well, you can make an MVP on it, but like, you know, where is it going to go from there? So 2020 was all about like, we just don't want you to be stuck. Let's keep adding new ways so that you can keep building more and more. And we don't present a lot of those things up front to you because we don't want you to get into Adalo and be overwhelmed. So like, for example, custom actions is very hidden and the component marketplace, while it's there, like you don't see any of the code. So you can add coded components, your own private coded components, but that doesn't scream at you right when you get in. So it's like, how can you put those things behind the scenes and still allow people to get what, you know, what they want to do without getting stuck? And I think a lot of what the next phase will be about is like taking all those powerful things, but making them even more accessible to people that are less and less technical, and start spreading that more and more. And then I think that's where, the largest big initiative that I haven't talked about, that's not really on the product side of things, but the Adalo Academy kind of lies. I think right now, you know, no code is still a little bit in, the Twitter sphere and the techie kind of space. And I think rightly so, right? Like it's moving. It's just, you know, software creation just keeps moving from like less and less technical people. If you imagine that kind of spectrum of like true developers to, you know, people that are now in this phase where it's like, you know, technically minded people. And I think like the next step, you know, after that are people that are even less technically minded. So how can you keep pushing forward towards that? And I think it really does take a different education mindset that people are going to have to start getting. And it's not just like that type of education is not just like, oh, where do I click and point in Adalo to like set up my database relationships? Well, that's really important and tough and something we'll have to tackle in the academy. It is also about like telling people what problems to solve, right? Like if we're really, I know like the analogy of like, you know, spreadsheets and no code always comes up, right? And how, you know, spreadsheets were the first no code platform and that kind of changed the game. And people like finally know how to use spreadsheets now, right? But that moved through a similar progression where at the beginning it was only for very technical people or scientists or mathematicians. And then it slowly went to people that like finally got to like, you know, somebody like my mom or dad who like, you know, they don't know what they're doing, but they can like put together a spreadsheet to like organize, you know, some event that they're planning, right? And like the same type of progression is going to happen with, you know, apps, you know, and websites. And it's sort of, or it's a little bit further ahead with websites, but it's going to keep happening more and more with software. And how do we keep pushing that? And I think education is a big part of that. So there's a lot we're working on with the academy in that regard to kind of push the envelope of what that'll be. So yeah, so I'm very excited about those kind of three big things, I guess, moving forward over the next couple of years.
That's really awesome. So, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right because like no code, everybody thinks no code means easy, and no code does not mean easy. No, it's still like you know, people have to have these really technical skills to have these big lifts or get what they want. So I love that you're making it more pro, or like a goal is to make it more approachable. I think that's great. At the same time, though, you probably, like you mentioned at the top, more and more enterprise people using the product. Do you feel like that stretches the opposite way? Like they want like more complex and more granularity, whereas like maybe other people want more approachable. I mean, have you seen a lot of enterprise growth at Adalo?
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess like we think it's a false choice that you have to pick either simple or powerful, you know, so we're always trying to find the perfect harmony between both of those. And that's why I talked about whatever ways we can do it where like behind the scenes, you can make it more powerful. So like, no, like, God, it would be like the worst thing if we like went super enterprisey and just started loading it with like different code blocks and like crazy things that you can add to. And like, then you make it, you know, not accessible to other people. Cause even people at those larger enterprises that we are seeing on Adalo, like they're not the technical ones. Cause they're the ones that it's like, they're solving very similar problems to like, I think, I don't know, like there's this like, we have this like, well, we think like people in enterprise are like very different than either like a startup or just a maker, but it's like, it's really the same. They're really similar. Like, yeah, they might have more kind of requirements under the hood that, you know, once you really get into it, they kind of you have to check a bunch of boxes for, you know, legal stuff. Right. But like the people actually making it are very similar, right? Where it's like you have some problem that you're trying to solve and some better way you want to interact with your community. And you don't have any funding for it. And by funding at an enterprise, that means convincing corporate and the higher ups to like, you know, get a developer or a team of developers to build whatever you're trying to build. So you have to build something on your own. And that's a lot like a startup. So it's the same type of mentality where whatever you were trying to solve before, you know, wasn't maybe a large enough problem that would have, you know, I guess, justified you having four developers on it for a long time, or just like, you know, wouldn't have justified you spending, you know, $100,000 to make that app. So I think they're actually a lot more similar than people maybe initially kind of think.
I love that, because I do feel like a lot of times we feel like there has to be this like split. And I love that you're approaching, you know, both of those things. So I love it. So this big announcement, you know, you've talked about like the three things that you're truly focused on, like I know that you're most excited about. Looking back, do you have like, I'm just curious, because I think that everybody, I mean, you mentioned this. We mentioned this already. We were laughing about, like, how did you celebrate? You're like, I don't know. I feel like there's no time to stop and celebrate. But, like, honestly, like, end of the day, you sit down, you look back. Like, what are the things that stand out from the past that we're like, these were milestones that really stand out to me, or things that I really viewed as special on the way to here? Like, do you feel like there was a moment that really where things turned for Adalo and, like, really got you on your front foot to moving to this spot, or is there something you look back and you go like, at this moment with the team, like that really stands out as this really special moment that I, when I think about where we are now, this is what like leaps out at me.
Yeah, there are definitely a few like kind of phases along that journey, right? You know, so like, let's go through a few of those quick little phases, right? You know, at the very beginning, nobody believed in no code really, or like that wasn't really a thing yet. So people didn't think you could build apps and software by yourself. So we had to kind of go out, and I like went to startup events or like just walked around to local businesses or like people in St. Louis and were like, hey, can I build you an app? And like, you know, you'll just kind of pay us some money. And so I think some of those in that first phase, like really seeing some of those first apps that like I built on Adalo, and like, I don't know how to code, right? But like when it like actually got published into the app stores and like kind of came to life and was like, oh wow, like that was like a legit, like, you know, that's like a legit helpful like piece of software for that business was pretty cool to see. I think the next phase was when we started to see some people start to play around with it all online. Cause like, we were always like, you could go to, I guess technically we were Foundry at the time. We changed our name a few times, but, you know, you could like go to the website and like sign up and log in, and no one really did anything. But there were like a, like some moments there that started to shift from like, you know, we're not just, you know, building apps for other people, like people can actually do it on themselves. Like I remember Tom Osman one night, like randomly found Adalo, like probably before like most people, especially in the no code space. And he just started like live tweeting, like his entire experience as he was like building it. And like, that was really crazy for us. Cause we're like, oh my God, someone's doing something on Adalo. Like, this is cool. And then he like, you know, actually built something that was like functional. Like it wasn't like anything that he sold or like an actual, like, you know, legit product that was making money, but it was like the first time somebody built something like totally by themselves and like it worked. And we didn't have to like, you know, do it for them. So it started to shift after that to be, okay. Like we like believed that people could actually do it. And then I think another milestone that I look back on is, I don't know, I really did enjoy the Future is No Code series that we did like, oh, so long ago, to kind of like gather all those people together. And I think one big takeaway that I have from that, from like a founder or someone who's starting something, is like, that was legitimately started because I was just like interested in like, in answering those questions and asking other people those questions. And like, it wasn't some like, you know, like, oh, calculated marketing thing that we're going to do or whatever. It's just like, I don't know, this will be fun to do. So I think those types of, and I even remember at times like, should I be doing that? Or should we like keep designing the product? Or like, I don't know, work on the like web page at the time or something. I was like, I don't know, I think this will be fun. And so that's definitely a big takeaway, was just like, whenever you do have those types of fashion projects, I would say like, just like do them and they'll probably turn out to be really helpful for you later on. That was pretty cool to see. The component marketplace was a huge milestone for sure. Just like, you know, having other developers add back into the no code ecosystem. I don't know, those were some bigger milestones, I guess, that I remember kind of along the way to where we are today.
I love that. So we got to wrap up because the Lakers game is going to start. For people listening, we got to watch the Lakers game. But I do have one last thing I want to end on, which is I would love two things. Like, one, like, really, we plugged the hiring, but where do people go to look at your job posts? And then two, for those people who are listening, like, we have a lot of people who are listening and maybe they're website people, or maybe, you know, they're bubble folks or whatever. For those folks who have not really started with Adalo, where do they go to get started? Like, what do you think is the best starting path for people who are listening and they're like interested, want to get going?
Yeah. So in terms of hiring, if you go to adalo.com/jobs, you'll find a link to all of our jobs, as well as some other, you know, what it's like to actually work at Adalo type of thing. You know, we have our purpose, our principles, everyone who works at Adalo, you can kind of see and what everyone thinks about no code space there. Some quotes from all of us, which is kind of fun to look at as well and dive into to see what it's actually like. We also have all of our practices listed there, in terms of different meetings that we have and things like that. I don't know, just trying to give as much, you know, you talked before, what is it like? We were trying to, you know, put a bunch of our stuff there of like what it's actually like to work at Adalo. And then, yeah, I mean, if you haven't kind of built anything on Adalo before, I mean, obviously if you go to adalo.com, you can, you know, sign up and get started for free there. It's very much like a design tool. Sure, if you're, hey, when Siri goes off, Siri's yelling at me.
It did that on this side while I was muted. So thank God no one heard it.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah. I mean, I would get started there. It's very much like, you know, a design tool. If you're familiar with, you know, Sketch or Figma, UXPin, XD, all those types of things, you'll be right at home for sure. And then, you know, we have a ton of great people in the community in our forum that answer a bunch of questions. We have a bunch of help docs and videos on YouTube, those types of things. Obviously, our Idala Academy will be a great place to get started once that launches. So yeah, we're definitely excited to change that experience and, you know, get more people that, like I was saying, who aren't maybe as familiar with techie or who aren't as familiar with like a design tool, even into the space, even more. So yeah, super, excited to, I'm just really excited to expand the no code space just in general though. I mean, it's not really, I know we talked obviously a lot about Idala, but there's so many other parts to that, that, you know, to the space that make it be successful in different tools, you know, whether it's Webflow or Zapier or, you know, any other numerous, amazing tools that have their kind of different use cases that, whatever people find most comfortable and can help them solve their problems. There's tons of so many little micro use cases in a no code space. That's pretty cool.
I love it. I was going to bring that up. Visual designers, if you have Zapier as mentioned, Webflow. So like, if you've got these skills, go look at the jobs page, but super excited for your team and for you. I know there's so much hard work that goes into, to building a tool like this. And, when that article came out, I was so ecstatic for you and your team, and for the future of Idala. I think that's so cool. So congrats. I hope you do get to breathe for a second and to enjoy it a little bit. You deserve it. So
thanks. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. You know, thanks for everyone who always listens and spreads the no code news just in general. I mean, even if you don't use Idala, like, you know, just keep spreading no code and everything that we're all creating here together. You know, I think that's the most important thing.
David, as a complete aside, I think you have been on this podcast more than anyone else.
That's true. Oh, that's true.
This is your third time on this podcast, I believe. And that's honestly pretty impressive. That speaks to how great of a human being you are.
Thanks. Well, I do really love you all. So thanks for having me again and everything you all do as well.
Thank you so much. Hope you have a good week. And for people listening, thanks for hanging out. And go Warriors or go Lakers?
Just go LeBron.
The GOAT. Love it. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Deuce. Okay.
All right, see you all.
Thanks for listening to visualdev.fm. You can find us on your favorite social media platform at visualdev.fm.